John Cohen, welcome back. Always nice to have you here.
Thanks, Jackie. I'm thrilled to be back.
This is the 14th conference you're covering. What are your general expectations?
The general expectations, there's going to be a lot of talk about how do we pay for this. The dreams are great, what people want to see happen, and the rich countries of the world are all feeling like they have empty pockets, and the aspirations are higher than ever.
So there will be a push and pull?
There'll be a lot of conflict and a lot of discussion about how do we pay for what we want to do and what we've promised people we're going to do.
And the aspirations are greater in some ways than ever before because of what the World Health Organization recently did.
Yeah, they've recommended that people start treatment earlier when they're healthier. And that means there are 10 million people who are now in need of antiretroviral drugs who don't have access, as opposed to 5 or 6 million in need. And at the same time, the rich countries are saying, we don't even know how we're going to keep paying for the 5 million we've put on lifetime treatment. You know, we're talking about 30, 40, 50 years of treatment. And people would like to see the developing countries transition to take over. And some have, and they've moved up in income status. But the economic crisis that hit the world over the past few years has hit HIV/AIDS.
And the treatment of more people goes to the idea of the marriage between treatment and prevention. Will we hear more of that theme here? Because it also does go to the point of efficiency.
We will. We talked about it in Mexico City. It was a new marriage then. They got married, and now the marriage is working through those early marriage problems. And efficiency is going to be the main topic of the day, because what the rich countries want to see happen is, well, maybe if we just work together a little bit better and we don't pay so much for hospitalization and we somehow get these clinicians over here to work better with these clinicians over there, we can do more with the buck we have. But getting more bang out of these bucks is going to be pretty tough.
John, you always come here looking for new science. What kind of new science do you expect?
Well, I think the most anticipated presentation is going to be about a microbicide that is a vaginal gel that women use before and right after sex. It's a big study in South Africa, and all these microbicide studies that have really gone into real-world tests have failed. It's been just a great disappointment. There have been a little hints of success, but nothing has convinced anyone that it works. And it's a really promising idea because it gives women control. And this study, as opposed to the others, is the first real-world trial that has an anti-HIV drug in it. In the past, these compounds have had like soaps, surfactants, and things that are nonspecific. And when they failed, a lot of people said, I didn't really expect that to work. If this fails, the field's going to just take a really big hit. But if it succeeds, it's really something to build on.
Do you think there is an expectation of scientists coming here that they will hear good news about this study?
I think people are holding their breath. They've been, you know, once you've been beat up so badly and had your hopes dashed so many times, I think people come in pretty circumspect. And, you know, let's be frank, most things fail.
And speaking of failure and having your hopes dashed, vaccines.
Yeah, vaccines are tough. It's a tough nut. You know, I started writing about vaccines in 1989, and I was convinced it would only be a couple of years before there'd be a vaccine. And, you know, there's no vaccine on the horizon. There have been some advances in the past year that are exciting, and I think they'll get some attention here. Some basic findings about antibodies, new antibodies and things that people hope they can build on. But I don't think you're going to hear anything here about a study of a vaccine in humans that did something wonderful. That's not going to happen this week.
We are in Vienna. It's the gateway to Eastern Europe. Not an accident that the International AIDS Society decided to have it here. What are some of those reasons?
Well, there is a big, big epidemic in Eastern Europe, in Russia and Ukraine in particular, a growing epidemic. I mean, one of the only epidemics in the world that hasn't plateaued, the only region of the world where it hasn't plateaued. And it's a region of the world that had no HIV to speak of in the early 1990s. And the influx of heroin led to a lot of injecting drug users who shared needles. And Russia and Ukraine didn't learn from other countries that figured out what's called the harm reduction package could stop HIV in those communities. And so you're going to hear a lot of criticism of Russia in particular, but also of Ukraine for not doing more quickly with known prevention strategies. both those countries will say to you, well, you know, we're different.
You had a recent reporting trip there, wrote a multi-part story for Science magazine, and one of the points you made was that there is a great deal of pessimism in Eastern Europe about the future of the epidemic. Is the idea to try to bring the policymakers, the opinion leaders, the scientists into this larger AIDS community to try to change that?
Without question. And the meeting has two agendas. One is political and social, and the other is scientific. And at the top of the political social agenda is, let's use the power of the world voice to say to these governments, you have to do more. And I think that the communities that are stifled, particularly in Russia, the civil mm-hmm. society, will be pretty vocal here. And the meeting's also being translated into Russian. So you're going to have people coming here from Russia and Ukraine and other countries that speak Russian, former Soviet Union countries, who are going to be learning things that are making, you'll see their eyes popping open. You know, so I think what you're going to see is a blending and a bringing into the fold of people who've really been,
on the outside.
They've been isolated. Yeah, even though, you know, the Iron Curtain fell and everything, mm-hmm. there's still an isolation factor. And it will go all the way up to the most cutting-edge research. You're going to hear a lot of stuff here about cure, that a word that you couldn't say, you know, 5 years ago. And those scientists from Russia and Ukraine and, you know, other former Soviet Union countries are going to be learning that stuff in tandem with their colleagues. That's a real advance. That's a big deal.
Okay. We will hear about other big deals very soon when we next check in with you. John Cohen of Science Magazine, thank you.
Thank you, Jackie.